Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
John chapter 12, and I want us to read verses 32 through 33 out loud together. All right, let's read. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. So Jesus says, if I am lifted up from the earth, and he's not talking about his resurrection here. He's talking about being lifted up on the cross. He says, if I'm being lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all peoples to myself. So what the Lord's been stirring in our heart is to make much of the cross. You know, I mean, we live in a society, there's crosses everywhere. Cross necklaces, cross earrings, cross tattoos. You know, and the Lord said, allow those crosses to grab your attention and begin to stir up conversation around them. You know, I ran into a young man last week, and he had like the crucifix, you know, with Jesus on the cross. Man, what a perfect thing to talk about, right? You know, and I was able to just talk to him and tell him, you know, that man, you know, look to the cross and live. Jesus died on the cross so that we can live. And then you'll see a lot of crosses that don't have Jesus on it. Another great conversation. Amen? Because then we talk about the resurrection and the death. Amen? And so the Lord's been stirring up in us and this desire to go out. All right? So this is what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. He's stirring up the evangelist in you. All right? But listen, not all of you are called to the office of evangelist. You know, there's the fivefold ministry, right? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You know, so you may not have the office of an evangelist. You might not be called to be an evangelist. But listen, I want to tell you that every single one of you are called to evangelism. Yes. Yes. Yeah, you're called to evangelize. All right, so the Lord is stirring up this gift, and there is an anointing being released on you right now. Even by the sound of my voice, there's an anointing being released on your life right now, and this anointing is going to cause people to be drawn to you. All right, you need to receive this, because this is what the Spirit of God is doing. You know, how many know we serve a God who sent his Holy Spirit to influence us and to live in us, right? And so listen, I want to strongly encourage you, and I want you to know that there is an anointing being released on your life right now, and this anointing is going to cause people to want to listen to you. This is an anointing of influence, church. Listen, this is how the Spirit of God is moving. This is what he's wanting to do. People are going to be drawn to you. They're going to want to hear what you have to say. So I want you to look out for this. You're going to be kind of like a people magnet. All right, I want you to be aware of this because this is going to happen. And I want you to be aware of this, that you look for this. You look for these things to happen so that you can make the most of every opportunity. Yes. Amen. What's the most important message we can tell people about? About Jesus, right? Yes. I shared with you, if you're a Christian, the only reason you're still on this side of heaven is because the Lord has something for you to share, and that's him. Yes. Yes. And if you're not a believer, and you're on this side of heaven, and you're not dead yet, it's because the Lord wants to save you. That's the truth. You know, we're living for eternity. And that's our message, amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Paul says, be very careful then how you live. Listen, since you know that God is stirring something up in you and you have an anointing on your life of influence that's going to draw people to you, that's going to cause them to want to listen to you, now the Apostle Paul says, so then, because you know that, be very careful how you live. Yes. How many of you know a stumbling block may not be a stumbling block to you, but it can be to someone else? Do you understand? In other words, there may be some things in your life that you're not stumbled over. Like maybe it's having a beer, and that doesn't bother you. But one beer might cause someone else to have a case. Are you hearing me? You have an anointing of an influence on you, and so we have to be very careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise. Yes. To do what? make the most of every opportunity. Do you realize that Jesus is seeking to save those who are lost? He's seeking to rescue people and even pull them out of a generational pattern so that they can walk in freedom and walk in wholeness. Amen? He says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We need to understand what the Lord's will is. So what is the Lord's will? The Lord's will, this is not on the screen, so I'll quote it from 2 Peter. The Lord's will is that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. All would come to Christ. That's the Lord's will. So listen, you are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. And you need to recognize that each one of you carries an anointing as an influential leader. Listen, do you know that God knew that you would be living at this time? In the history of the world, he knew how old you were going to be. He knew you would be living right now. He knew where you were going to live. He knew where you're going to work. Yeah, he knows exactly everything about you, and you're anointed. In fact, you are the leaders of our day. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you are the leader of our day. Listen, you need to see yourself as leaders, okay? You are the leaders of our day, and maybe you're saying, well, Pastor Vic, you know, I really don't feel much like a leader. Well, let me ask you a question by a show of hands, all right? How many of you would say, Pastor Vic, I'm a follower of Jesus? Yeah. Do you know that the greatest leaders in the history of the world were followers of Jesus? Isn't that right? So becoming a leader first requires us to be a follower. And I'm telling you, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a great leader. Amen. And you need to see yourself as that. Because listen, everyone say, follow the leader.
Follow the leader.
Yeah. So listen, we know that game, right? Listen, as you follow Jesus and people follow you, before they know it, they're going to find themselves in the loving arms of Jesus, saved, delivered, healed, sanctified, and full of hope. Because if they're following you, you're going to lead them right to Christ because that's who you're following. Amen? Amen? So listen, you're anointed to lead. You have an influence on your life that's going to attract people to Christ. So listen, I want you to see you in that role. That's what it's all about. Amen? Amen. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15. This is the Great Commission, all right? Jesus said to them, and he's speaking to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. This is what Jesus is commissioning every single one of us to do, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. So the question is, what is the gospel? I mean, what does it really mean to preach the gospel? If we're being commissioned to do this, what does it really mean to preach the gospel? And the Apostle Paul answers that for us in 1 Corinthians 15. Beginning in verse 1, he says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. Come on, shout out, take a stand.
Take a stand.
Yeah, say it again, take a stand.
Take a stand.
Yeah, so listen, the Lord is reminding us this morning of the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's telling you, take a stand for it. Stand up for it. We need that in this hour. He's saying, take a stand for it. Verse 2, he says, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. So the Apostle Paul is saying, don't hold on to the gospel loosely. Like it's not really that big of a deal. He's saying, hold on to it tightly. Grab hold of the gospel and hold on to it tightly. It's what saved you. And it's what saves others. And he says, otherwise, you have believed in vain. Then verse 3, he says, what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, the most important thing that I ever passed on to you was the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing that I passed on to you. And then he tells us what that gospel is. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day. This is the gospel message. This is the gospel message. Jesus died for your sins. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose from the grave. That's the gospel message that Jesus is commissioning us to preach. Look at Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. He says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Listen, the gospel coming out of your mouth saves people. Man, there's power in that. He says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you confess that with your mouth, something happens that sends every demon to flight and causes a reaction between you and your heavenly Father to secure your eternal destiny. That's why the Lord is saying, man, hang on to this thing. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And he goes on to say, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth one confesses unto salvation. Yeah, so the gospel message coming out of your mouth has the power to save. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, preach the gospel. Now, come on. Now, put a punch on it. Preach the gospel. Yeah. So, listen. As we're being commissioned to go out and share our faith, you know, I need to make something very, 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 very clear. All right? So, I need everybody to look at me. Listen. Listen to me. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Listen, listen, there's no other way. This is non-negotiable, all right? This is a truth that we must never, ever, ever water down, dismiss, or compromise. Jesus said this in John 14, 6. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Yeah, and in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, there's salvation in no one else. Yeah. Come on, listen. This is a non-negotiable truth that we cannot compromise. There's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Amen. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no other way, church. You say, well, you know, Pastor Vic, why are you bringing this up? Well, I want to tell you that there is a subtle and very dangerous deception out there right now. You know, it's really a spirituality movement. And it's this interfaith theology that is dipping its toes in this one world religion mindset. So this interfaith spirituality is suggesting that, you know, we're all teaching the same thing. We're all praying to the same God, and all religions lead to heaven. And listen, I'm obligated to tell you that is a lie. It's a lie. It's not true. Listen, the belief that you can get to heaven apart from Jesus is a lie from the pit of hell. And it's being initiated by deceitful spirits, and it's a doctrine of demons, all right? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. In latter times, some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the faith. You know, can someone lose their salvation? I mean, some people believe that, man, once saved, always saved. And, you know, I try not to go on either side of the road in the ditch on either way, because God's grace, I believe, reaches very, very deep. And I think it's hard to shake his grace loose. So I when I have discussions about this once saved, always saved, do you believe this? Because this will divide people. And so when people want to have a discussion with me about, do you believe that someone can lose their salvation? I say, you know, I don't know if they can lose their salvation, but I know they can leave their salvation. Yeah, people can depart from the faith. They can just walk away from it. And listen, the Lord has a tight grip on you. He has a tight grip on me. But he leaves us to our own will. And he's not going to hogtie you. He's not going to hogtie us and manipulate us to follow him. And this is why the Apostle Paul, in Corinthians that we read, he's saying, hold tight to the gospel. Don't let it go. Hold on to it tightly. Hold on to it. It's what saves you. All right, so we're living in the last days, church. And listen, some are departing from the faith that says Jesus is the only way to heaven. They're departing from that faith. They're departing from it. And so they're abandoning the gospel. And listen, this is serious. Listen, we don't have to get uptight over it. But the Lord says, I need you to make my people aware of it. They're abandoning the gospel. So the Lord is exhorting us to take a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're saying, well, Pastor Vic, this is kind of intense. You know, this is like, woo, you know, why? Why would there be such intensity? I'll tell you why. Because people's eternity is at stake. Because there's no other way to heaven. People's eternity is at stake. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 8, the second part of verse 24. Look at this. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am, notice the capital letter in M, unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you'll die in your sins. So Jesus is saying, unless you believe that I am God incarnate, easier language, unless you believe that I am God in human form and I am the only way to heaven, unless you believe what I claim I am, you'll die in your sins. Yeah, so listen, there's this subtlety, this interfaith spirituality movement, this inner spirituality discussion that teaches that all religions lead to heaven is a dangerous and subtle trap to negate that truth. To negate and water down. In other words, they'll suggest this. Yeah, Jesus is a possible way to heaven, but he's not the only way. Come on, this is what is happening. Listen, it's happening. Your kids are starting to believe this. Besides, God is love. Everybody goes to heaven. There's only one way. There's only one way. And so the Lord is saying, man, there is an urgency. I don't know when Jesus is going to return, but there's an urgency that says, listen, I need you to stand up and speak up. Yeah, listen, not rudely. And listen, let me tell you this too. It's one thing that we have interdenominational gatherings, right? We do that. You know, we do that with other pastors and other leaders in the city. You know, it's when Christians get together and we set aside some of our, you know, minor differences and we come together and we worship Jesus Christ. Listen, that is completely different than these interfaith type things, these little prayer groups. We're all going to get together and, you know, you were just all going to... It's a subtle trap. It's a subtle trap. And so we need to be careful that we don't too quickly jump on the bandwagon to even entertain interfaith conversations. Listen, when you find yourself around a conversation that is suggesting that all religions lead to heaven, and you don't speak up, your silence says you agree. Yes. It's going to require a boldness on us. And listen, I think that we can misrepresent and even insult God if we choose to keep silent. Listen, the price that Jesus Christ paid for your redemption is too great a price to just simply dismiss it. Yeah, it's too great a price to pay. The Lord's saying, make much of the cross, right? Yes. So he's bringing us into this place, and the Lord is saying, being silent is not enough in this hour. The Lord's saying, take a stand and have a voice. Yes. He's saying, lift up the name of Jesus and preach the gospel. Listen, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Yes. Yeah. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again, that you might have life and life more eternal. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved right now. And you can secure your eternal destiny. You can have this, but there's no other way except through Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he died for you. He was buried, and he rose on the third day. And you can have him in your life right now and be saved. That's the gospel message. That's it. It can't be watered down. Amen? Jesus is the only way to God the Father. And if we're going to proclaim the true gospel, we have to tell people about this. Come on, that's why we're here, church. I'm not here to tell you a fairy tale or read you a little story. You know, we have to be about our Father's business. And listen, I'm going to tell you, every one of you have different personalities. You know, you're going to be able to bring this however the Lord puts it on your heart. But listen to this commentary. Listen to this commentary I ran across. It has been estimated that the early church experienced persecution to such a degree that by conservative estimates, 6 million of our brothers and sisters in Christ were martyred for their faith. 6 million. Well, Satan had a problem with this because the blood of the saints proved to be the seed of the church. The persecuted church grew and multiplied exponentially. So Satan changed his strategy. Unable to beat the church, he decided to join it and seduce it into lethargy and sleepiness. Thus, I suggest to you, it is tougher to be a Christian in the days of pleasure and prosperity than in the days of persecution, because persecution necessitates a stand. Persecution necessitates a declaration and an identification. And so the question that is posed to me and to you this morning is, will you stand up and will you speak up for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Listen, it's not easy being an outspoken Christian, church, because it ruffles feathers. Look what Jesus said in John 15, 20. He says, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Now, listen, I'm being careful because I don't want us to leave this place. I'm going to go be a martyr for Jesus, you know, and be all self-righteous. We have to be careful. So we know that we're commissioned to go out and share our faith. We know that. But a lot of times we don't do it because it's not easy. It ruffles feathers. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. And I tell you, these are hard sayings because it can twist things up. But look what Jesus says. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now let's pause there. I did not come to bring peace on earth. This is Jesus. Listen, the Prince of Peace. I didn't come to bring peace on earth, but I came to bring a sword. And so these verses that I'm going to quote are not on the screen, all right? But I want to show you what is happening. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Everyone say the word is a sword. Hebrews 4:12 goes on to say that sword, the word, is able to divide soul and spirit. So the sword divides things up. It separates the flesh from the spirit and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. All right? Everyone say the word is a sword. And again, this isn't on the screen, but I'll quote it to you from John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then it says, he was in the beginning with God. And then it goes on to say, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So listen, Jesus is the word. Jesus is a sword, because the sword is a word, the word. And the word separates and divides. Truth will separate and divide. And so Jesus says, verse 35, These are hard sayings. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. This doesn't sound like I want to follow this. Listen, Jesus is not wanting to tear families apart. He's all about family. Are you hearing me? What Jesus is saying is this. He goes, I'm going to be the reason why some people will part ways. Yeah. Maybe you've experienced this. Maybe you've experienced this in your own family, where you have someone in your family that is walking with the Lord and you're sold out, and then others, I don't want anything to do with it. And then they start thinking you're nuts. Listen, this is the reality. So Jesus says this, if you're standing up for me and you're standing up for the truth of the importance of the gospel message, there's going to be some tension now and then. There's going to be some trouble, he says. There may be a severing of relationships, and you may even make some enemies. So listen, it's important that we count the cost, knowing that when we go into this, I can't compromise the eternal message to be liked by someone that doesn't even have eternity in their heart yet, because that's not love. That means, man, I am more concerned about you accepting and loving me than I am about you receiving Jesus in your heart. And I won't read the rest of this passage right there, but listen, this is what I want to share with you too. Claiming Jesus is the only way, that's the message, right? That's the message. That's what's being watered down. All roads lead to heaven. All religions lead to heaven. And doesn't really matter. We're all in this thing together. And the gospel message isn't being preached or stood up for. And so when we say, listen, Jesus is the only way, I'm telling you, it will make some people very uncomfortable. And other people, oh, it'll make them really, really angry. And others will just walk away from you and want nothing to do with you. And it happens. It happens. So being a Christian is not always easy, but it's worth it, you guys. Listen, is it okay that we talk about the reality of what we're called to do? Now listen, one thing I want to make sure of is that, listen, you know, don't have this, I'm going to be a martyr for Jesus mentality. Like, ooh. Don't, because that's arrogance. So listen, when we're proclaiming the gospel, man, we need to make sure that we're not harsh. We're not rash. We're not rude. Are you hearing me? Everything we do and everything we say must be seasoned with love. A love that is patient, a love that is kind. This is your verse, Kayla. A love that is not jealous or boastful or proud. Everything we do must be seasoned with a love that's not rude. It does not demand its own way, but it does demand the way. Amen. This love is not irritable. So we're not irritable with the ones that say, I don't want anything to do with you. You know, that's, you're shallow-minded, right? We're not irritable. We're doing all this in love. It keeps no record of being wronged, so it forgives quickly. Come on, church. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Yeah. All heaven rejoices when the truth wins out and someone turns to Christ. This love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful. Yeah. That's why we got to be careful that we don't start cursing the very ones we're trying to save. Yeah. Oh, they're going to hell in a handbasket. How do you know? Yeah, we can't get offended by the language they use. Listen, even people that just get saved still drop the F-bomb. Yeah, that's a good amen. Yeah. Not me. You know what I mean? So we just can't, you know, cause us to get in this place where we give up because someone's flaws. Listen, this ministry is built on a flawed person. Yeah. I've got flaws. You know, I'm thankful that I can go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. And I'm thankful I can come to you when I jack you around by not being sensitive or speaking something harshly or something, that I can come to you and I'm thankful that my wife is a forgiving wife. Yeah. I'm thankful. You know, so this love, the way that we bring the gospel, man, we have to have this love that it never gives up. It never loses faith in people. Like, there's still time, right? It's always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. Amen? Listen, this love is immovable. Like, you can curse at me. You can throw rocks at me. You can say anything you want about me, but I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you because I know what Jesus did for me. Amen? I think it was David Wilkerson. He was a preacher way back when, powerful in New York. But I remember reading a testimony one time that he was trying to win the gangs over to Christ. And this one gang person came up and, you know, he's gonna cut you into pieces. He was like ready to kill him. And David Wilkerson said, "You can cut me into 1,000 pieces and every piece would scream, I love you." Yeah, so when we're preaching the gospel, we can't be harsh. We can't be rude. We can't be irritable. Man, we just have to share it from the place that Jesus saved me. Yeah. And he can save you. Yeah, and that talk that you're saying, all religions lead to heaven. Listen, I just got to tell you, that is not true. There's only one way to heaven. Yeah. Jesus died for your sins. He was buried, and he rose on the third day. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved today. Yeah. He'll come in. He'll intercept your destiny right now. Yeah. Are you hearing me? This is the good news, church. And the Lord is encouraging us today, and he's releasing an anointing. Take a stand. And don't be quiet about it. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. Jesus says, "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And so this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, when you lose your life for my sake, man, what does that look like? It means that you may get rejected when you stand for the truth. They may call you names. Jesus says, when you lose your life for my sake, you'll find out what life is all about. Yeah, you'll find it. You'll find your eternal purpose when you take a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen, I want to tell you, church, there is no greater feeling in the world than to be able to lead someone to Christ or bring them to Christ and help them know that Jesus loves them. It'll change your life forever if you live to lose your life for his sake. Yeah. So the question is, where do we find the boldness to do this? Because it's not easy. You know, not only the question is where do we find the boldness, but where do we find the balance between truth and love and how we bring these two things together? You know, where do we find it? And this is what I'm going to be bringing next week. And I'm that's why I'm saying I may have Harry Holkamp. I may push him back a week because I think we need this. I think we need the word. And so where do we find this boldness? And this is it. We need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, church. Yeah, we need to be filled afresh regularly. Amen? We need to have this this the fruit of the Spirit, and we need to have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to have the love of the Holy Spirit spilling over us all the time. Are you hearing this? Listen, how many of you know you can be filled with the Spirit today and not tomorrow? Yeah, so listen, how many of you know you could be filled with the Spirit this morning and not this afternoon? Yeah. See, the level of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life, it can slip away. You know, it can dry up and it can evaporate. All right, so this is what the Lord told me, and I wrote this down. He says, I want you to take my people to the fountain for a fresh filling, to the well that never runs dry. I want you to teach them how to stay full of the Holy Spirit. All right, so this is where we're going next week. All right, because there is an event, like, for instance, on the day of Pentecost, remember? It was an event. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That was an event. But there is something else that the Lord brings us, and I'll be bringing this to you next week, that in Acts chapter 2, they were all filled, but in Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, man, it says they were filled. Peter was filled with the Spirit. This was a continuation. It was a fresh filling. Amen. And I sense that the Lord is encouraging me and encouraging us that we need to train you not only how to evangelize, but how do I stay filled with the Spirit? How do I continue being filled with the Spirit so that I don't run dry? Because it's easy to dry up, church. We can get distracted. We can get discouraged. It's easy to dry up. And listen, I'm telling you, I'm not saying that we're going to have this, like, it's not going to get weird. However the Holy Spirit wants to move, he's going to move. But listen, this isn't going to be an event that happens on a Sunday. It's going to be an exercise and a practice that you do every day. Yes. Amen? Because that's the only way we're going to see the results that we need, is that we need to be filled with the love of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit all the time. Amen? Amen. Does that sound good? It's time for a fresh infilling. You know, you ever been to a restaurant where they have free refills? You know, what do? You got to get up out of your seat, and you go over there. You know, I don't drink pop. I don't think I've had a Coke or pop for, gosh, probably 25 years. How long has it been? Brittany, long time, huh? You know, but they have these free refills, you know, and you get up and you take your cup over there and you put it underneath there and you push the button and it fills up. Listen, what happens if you just keep it under there? It overflows. Oh, you know the little things on the gas tank? You know when you go pump your gas, got that little trigger? You know, and you can put that little kickstand on it, right? And you can, like, look at your phone or whatever. Listen, what happens if that kickstand doesn't stop the gas? It comes out of the mouth. Listen, the Lord's saying, I want to fill you with the Holy Spirit so that everything that comes out of your mouth is an overflow of where you've been with me. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to get into that next week. Amen? Listen, we love you. We appreciate you a whole bunch. We're excited about what the Lord is doing. And looking forward, listen, grab your friends. Come back next week, okay? Listen, we can't disciple you if you're not here. All right, so come back next week. Also, I want to say hi to James and Emily Rice. James is in town. He's here this week. Sadly, he's mourning the death of his uncle. But it's good to see you, James. And listen, before, you know, as you head out of here, just fellowship. Say hello to some folks. I love you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.